الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The importance of an Islamic environment. At-Tar's prayer. O Lord of the Prophet, whoever reads or listens to the 29-page booklet, The Importance of an Islamic Environment, always keep them in and around Islamic environments. Forgive them and their parents without accountability. Ameen bi jahin nabiyyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of reciting salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Beautify your gatherings by reciting salat upon me, as your recital of salat upon me shall be light for you on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. When a family opposed the sunnah, dear Islamic brothers, regretfully our circumstances worsen day by day. Depravity is predominant everywhere you look. Immoral fashion trends are firmly in effect. Television broadcasts all kinds of improper films and programs. The widespread availability of the internet has opened doors for new forms of tribulation. In the midst of this, those who call themselves Muslims do not care for the sunnah of Allah's final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. There was once a young man hailing from Karachi's Aurangi town, who bore affiliation with Dawat-e-Islami. He had never shaved and kept his beard right from when it grew. Keeping a beard is a renowned sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He sadly contracted blood cancer. I referring to the Amir of the Ahlus Sunnah, the author of this work, visited him in hospital. He was close to death and could no longer speak. I was shocked to see his beard had been shaved away. The poor young man raised his hand towards his face with extreme difficulty and made a despairing gesture. It was as if he wanted to say, Mu'adh Allah, I did not shave my beard. My family did this when I was asleep or unconscious. Sadly, he passed away a few days later. May Allah forgive him without accountability and grant those who shaved his beard the ability to repent. Ameen bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Modern Muslims and their distance from the sunnah. We live in extremely sensitive times. Tragically, those calling themselves Muslims forcefully keep their children away from the sunnah, and they even punish them for doing so on occasion. I have seen a host of similar heart-rending incidents. We ask Allah to protect us. When certain young Islamic brothers came close to Dawat-e-Islami's Islamic environment and grew their beards, their households reacted harshly. For simply growing their beards, they were verbally and physically abused, such that they were even cast out of their own homes. In select cases, some even had their beards cut in their sleep. Let us now discuss an incident that took place before Dawat-e-Islami came into existence. A young man began spending time with me, and being positively influenced by religious company, he began to say Assalamu alaikum when entering and exiting his home. He also began saying Insha'Allah during his conversations. His parents, who called themselves Muslims, were alarmed by this for some reason. What is the matter? They questioned. Why have you started saying Salam and Insha'Allah these days? As soon as this poor soul mentioned my name, his family prevented him from spending time with me. They said, from today, you're not spending any more time with that mullah. That young man eventually succumbed to modernity. Pushed to heroin addiction. A young man from Hyderabad, Pakistan, became affiliated with Dawat-e-Islami circa 1988. Besides now offering salah regularly, he adorned his face with a beard and his head with an imamah. He also began studying in Madrasatul Madina. He came from a wealthy family who sadly could not understand the change that had occurred in his life. They stood in staunch opposition to this and caused him immense difficulties, even obstructing him from acting upon the Sunnah. They wanted him to leave Dawat-e-Islami's Islamic environment, to which he would cry, "Don't force me to do this or you'll regret it." His words fell on deaf ears. After 3 years of having his own family oppose him, he left Dawat-e-Islami due to the immense pressure he suffered, shaving his beard in the process. As his elder brother was a doctor, he was enrolled into a medical college in Faisalabad, Pakistan, to become one. He then developed a drug addiction due to being around the wrong people. Falling seriously ill, he was sent back to his family in Hyderabad. His father spent millions on his treatment to no avail. The young man's addiction worsened instead, ultimately resulting in him taking cocaine. He lost huge amounts of weight and developed a black layer over his teeth. At the time of writing, he suffers from severe mental and addiction-related issues. By the grace of Allah, his father is now affiliated with Dawat-e-Islami. He wistfully laments, "If I had realized the importance of Dawat-e-Islami at that time and not prevented my son from being involved with it, this would not have happened. May Allah give this young man the ability to recover from his addiction and be involved with Dawat-e-Islami once again." Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The importance of raising one's children correctly. This true story holds great admonition for parents who stop their children from attending sunnah-inspired gatherings, travelling in Madni qafilas, spending time with pious Muslims, growing their beards, following the sunnah, and joining Islamic environments. Your child is indeed beloved to you, but never forget, they are a slave of Allah, a member of the final Prophet's nation, and a part of Islamic society. If you cannot raise them to worship Allah correctly, if you fall short in having them act upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, if you fail to teach them what their responsibilities are as a Muslim, then do not hope for them to obey or listen to you in life. It is only Islam that teaches children to obey their parents and fulfill their rights. One commonly sees parents who neglected their children's upbringing complaining of the latter's state everywhere they go. They should not forget, they themselves are to blame for this. They taught their children the alphabet, but not how to recite the Quran. They educated them about secular customs and values, but did not show them the sunnahs of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. They lectured them on matters of general knowledge for hours, yet they did not encourage them to seek obligatory Islamic knowledge. They taught the children to love money, but not how to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. They nurtured fear of worldly failure in them, but they did not teach them to fear what will happen in the grave and on the day of judgment. They taught them how to say, "Hello, how are you?" but not how to properly greet another with salam. Reckless transgression. Dear Islamic brothers, the wanton of open perpetration of sin, the availability of TV and the internet, widespread immorality and corrupted home environments have all adversely affected our characters and personalities. Although not impossible, it certainly becomes extremely difficult for a person caught amid this to perform virtuous deeds. This is why parents, alongside taking care of their children's outward appearances, food, clothing, and other necessities, should continuously strive to ensure that they are raised in the best possible Islamic manner. Not only this, but parents should also focus on reforming themselves simultaneously. How can a drowning person rescue others? How can a heedless sleeping person awaken someone else? How can a selfish person raise others to great heights? Parents must perform good deeds, please Allah, avoid sin, strive to be saved from hellfire, and walk the path to paradise by the mercy of Allah. They must walk this path themselves if they want their beloved children to do the same. Da'wat-e Islami is a huge blessing when it comes to putting this into effect. Its publishing wing, Maktabatul Madina, has a host of literature for one to read pertaining to how one can go about raising their children in light of the Quran, Hadith, and the understanding of our pious predecessors. Suna jungle raat andheri, chai badli kali hai, sone wale jagte rahiyo, choron ki rakhwali hai. Explaining the poetry of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, this couplet could mean, O Muslims, the world is like a deserted jungle. Overhead, a dark night has set in, with black clouds looming. One should not sleep in these frightful circumstances. If by chance one falls asleep, they should awaken immediately, as those who were meant to be protectors have been revealed as robbers and thieves. In other words, the darkness of negligence and carnal desires has spread everywhere. Never consider the nafs and Satan, who always accompany you, to be your well-wishers. They are not protectors, but thieves. Stay alert at all costs. Stay vigilant. May it not be that these thieves steal your faith. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Does a son strike his father? As written in Tanbih al-Ghafilin, a person came to the Samarqandi scholar Abu Hafs rahmatullahi alayhi and said, "My son has hit me." The scholar was taken aback. "It's possible for a son to hit his father? This can happen?" he asked. The person begrudgingly said yes. Abu Hafs then asked if the person had taught his son Islamic knowledge, manners, and the Quran. The latter replied in the negative for all three. "So, what does your son do for a living?" he asked. To which the person explained his son was a farmer. As this discussion went on, the scholar asked the person if he knew why his son struck him, to which the person said he did not, intending to rectify the situation and highlight a point to the person. Abu Hafs then said, "Perhaps he was sat on his donkey and headed to his field for work in the morning, with a bull in front of him and a dog behind. Since he did not know how to recite the Quran and was hence deprived of spirituality, he may have been singing some song in heedlessness. Meanwhile, you must have come in front of him, and he thought you to be a bull. He then struck you on your head to move you forward. Be thankful your head is not bleeding." Fate of a negligent father. Dear Islamic brothers, observe the grave consequences of not providing one's offspring with an Islamic upbringing. Today, countless parents complain their children swear and verbally abuse them or threaten to have them thrown out of the home. To deal with this, raising children in complete accordance with Islamic law and the Sunnah is what shall benefit parents in this world and the hereafter. Without this, although they shall have temporary succor in this life, success in the hereafter will be far from reach. Let us now look at the story of a father who neglected his children's upbringing. The jurist Abu al-Layth Samarkandi rahmatullahi alayhi said, narrations dictate the closest tie to a man being his wife, then his children. They will beseech before Allah on the day of judgment, O Lord, grant us our right from this man, as he never taught us Islam and fed us haram whilst we were unaware. The man shall then be beaten severely for earning haram, such that his skin and flesh will come off. He will then be brought to his scale of deeds. His good deeds shall be brought forth by angels and equal a mountain in size. One of his family members shall come forth and say, I am short of good deeds. The latter shall then take from some of the man's good deeds. Another will come and say, you made me consume something earned with interest. They will also take good deeds from him. In this way, his family will take all his good deeds. He will look at them wistfully and sigh. Now, I am only left shouldering the sins and injustice I committed for you. Angels will announce, this is the person whose good deeds have been taken by his family and who has entered hellfire because of them. Avoiding Islamic environments because of one's family. Many Islamic brothers were initially inspired by Dawat-e-Islami, grew their beards, began carrying out obligatory acts of worship and adopted the Sunnah, only to leave everything due to family pressure or external influence. This servant of Medina, I, the author, humbly and lovingly says to those who have experienced this that Dawat-e-Islami is your own Sunnah-inspired movement. I ask you to come back to it before death takes you from the joys of this life and stations you in a dark grave. Then you will rue the missed chances you had to perform good deeds and wish you have performed as many as possible. I wholeheartedly exhort you to be strong and take a step forward once again to save yourself from sin and be consistent in performing good deeds. Come back to the Sunnah-inspired Islamic environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Maybe you will not face opposition like last time, as people's thinking changes over time. If you do face opposition of any kind, you are to deal with it with nothing but kindness, softness, and gentleness. Your character and actions will surely then inspire others towards goodness. Detractors will develop good opinions of Dawat-e-Islami through your forbearance. Look at this encouraging and heartwarming story. Success after struggle. An Islamic brother from Muzaffargarh, Punjab, Pakistan was inspired by Dawat-e-Islami's Islamic environment and grew his beard. Mu'adh Allah, his home did not contain a religious atmosphere at that time. Due to this, his family members stood in adamant resistance to his decision. This led him to being pressured into cutting his beard, but he did not cut ties with Dawat-e-Islami completely. He continued attending Sunnah-inspired gatherings whenever he could and consistently offered Salah throughout this time. Re-inspired, he grew his beard again eventually. His family objected yet again and subjected him to a longer period of disapproval than before. Yet again, he succumbed to pressure and shaved his beard. Astaghfirullah. For the third and final time, he grew his beard, but this time his family did not oppose him like before. He also adorned his head with an imamah, settled comfortably into Dawat-e-Islami and began working for Islam. Today, at the time of writing, approximately 14 years have passed and he remains with a beard and imamah. May Allah keep him steadfast upon these sunnahs until he leaves this world. He himself says he worries about what would happen if he left this world without acting upon the sunnah. May Allah always bless Dawat-e-Islami, which took this person from the constricted walkways of ruin and placed him upon the broad path to paradise. It was this very movement which caused profound inward and outward change in him, leading to his previously obstinate family always acknowledging its positive impact. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Terrifying sights post-death. Dear Islamic brothers, all those who love Allah's messenger, make sincere and unshakable intention to grow your beards. This is an auspicious sunnah of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. No matter what difficulties you face, have firm resolve to hold on to this sunnah and take it into your graves with you. Bear in mind, shaving the beard and shortening it less than a fist length are both prohibited. I now present to the listener an extract from Maktabatul Madina's booklet, Black Scorpions with Slight Amendments. O heedless Islamic brother, come to your senses. You will be absolutely helpless after death. Your loved ones and well-wishers will take your clothes away and dress you in a funeral shroud. No matter how wealthy you are, you will be wrapped in the same simple shroud given to a lonely person who died with nobody around. If you have a car, it will be left behind in your garage. Your expensive clothes will remain in your wardrobe. Your bitterly hard-earned wealth will be distributed amongst your heirs. Your family and friends will cry whilst your enemies rejoice. Your loved ones will carry you on their shoulders to a horrifyingly silent place you would never go to alone, especially at night. The simple thought of being there alone shook you to your core. Today, your loved ones dig a hole in the ground for you, cover you in earth, and leave you completely alone. None of them would spend a night or even an hour with you where you are buried. Even your children will leave you in the ground by yourself. One by one, your friends and family will disappear from your sight, your heart sinking further into despair each time. Suddenly, two fearsome angels, Munkar and Nakir, with terrifying appearances, will tear apart the walls of your grave with their lengthy teeth. They will then be right in front of you, with flames blazing from their eyes and menacing black hair trailing down to their feet. They will forcefully sit you up in your grave
and sternly question, Man Rabbuka, who is your Lord? And Ma Deenuka, what is your religion? Upon this, all barriers, veils and obstructions between you and the city of Medina shall disappear. An indescribably beautiful and handsome face shall be shown to you, or the possessor of this wondrous appearance shall personally arrive. Perhaps you will lower your eyes in modesty of who is before you, and shame over yourself. Maybe you will wonder, how can I look up and show my face? Right now in front of me is my beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whose kalima I would recite. I called myself his devotee and servant. I said that I loved him, but I did not display this love by growing a beard. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam himself said, keep the mustache very short, allow the beard to grow. Unfortunately, I lost myself in the fleeting beauty of this temporary world. Chasing fashion trends left me in ruin. Despite being strictly forbidden by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I shaved my beard and made my face like that of the non-Muslims. I made my face resemble his enemies. What will happen now? What will happen if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam turns his sacred face away from me and says, this face resembles that of my enemy, not of my follower. Allah forbid. If this happens, then what can we do? What will we feel at that time? Insha'Allah, this will not happen. As for us, we must take on the Prophet's sunnah whilst we are alive. Turn away from fashion trends as well as cultural practices and decorate your face with the sanctified sunnah of Allah's final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by growing your beard. Do not fall for satanic tricks and whispers such as, I'm not worthy of keeping a beard yet, I'm too young, I don't have enough knowledge yet, or if someone asks me a religious question, I won't know how to answer. When I'm able to do this, then I'll keep a beard. Satan tricks people into thinking they are worthy. Remember, the biggest sign someone is unworthy is when they think of themselves as worthy. Even accomplished scholars do not answer every single question. Have you taken some kind of duty to answer them all? Do not succumb to the nafs and its deceptions. Even if your mother stops you, your father prevents you, if everyone discourages you, even if your wedding is obstructed, whatever happens, the orders of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam must be obeyed. Rest assured, if it is inscribed on Lohi Mahfuz, i.e. the preserved tablet, for you to get married, it will certainly occur. If it is not inscribed, no worldly power can change this. How certain can we be of our lives? There is no knowing how long we shall live. So we should immediately take on the sunnah. Death immediately after shaving. Someone once told me an incident of a young man from Bangladesh who grew his beard. When his wedding approached, his parents forced him into getting his beard shaved. He reluctantly went to a barber and had this done. After the shave, on his way home, he was crushed under a fast-moving vehicle whilst crossing the road and died instantly. All his wedding hopes were dashed. His parents were unable to save him. Neither his marriage took place, nor did his beard remain. Dear Islamic brothers, come to your senses. Trust in Allah and make firm intention to grow your beards out of love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Say, no matter what happens, nothing will stop me from following this sunnah and keeping a beard. Who did the Prophet dislike? Via the companion Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiyallahu anhu, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once sent a letter to Khusro, a wretched Persian king, as an invitation to Islam. When it reached the latter, this despicable individual became angry, tore it up, and barked disrespectful phrases, which I do not want to mention here. Khusro then issued an order to Badhan, his governor in Yemen, who was considered to have control over Arab lands. The drivel spoken by Khusro is omitted here again. Resultingly, Badhan ordered for a military team led by Kharkhasara and a national officer named Banwiya to observe the influence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When they arrived in Medina and were brought before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the veins on their necks pulsated out of awe of the prophetic presence. Since the two officers were Zoroastrian fire worshippers, they did not have beards. Instead, their mustaches were grown to cover their upper lips. They used to refer to their king Khusro as Lord. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam disliked their faces and said in revulsion, "May you be ruined. Who told you to look like this?" They replied, "Our Lord Khusro told us to." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "My Lord has ordered me to grow my beard and to trim my mustache." The terrifying scene of the last day. Dear Islamic brothers, let us think over this incident. Listen to it again if you could not understand what took place. Kharkhasara and Banwiya were non-Muslims at that time. They were unaware of the rulings of Islamic law. Yet, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam profoundly disliked how they had ruined and distorted the natural beauty of their faces. Despite being sent as rahmatul lil alameen, he declared, "May you be ruined." On the day of judgment, all humans will be gathered and all will be worried for themselves. Mother will flee from their sons and sons will run from their fathers. At that time, sinners will place all their hopes in none other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. All people will have to present themselves before him. Bear in mind, we will be resurrected in the same state in which we die. A bearded person shall be raised with a beard, whilst a clean-shaven person will be raised as such. O you who peel the sunnah away from your faces, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asks if you love him, you shall say, "You are everything to us. We hold you dearer than even our parents, children and wealth." What if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam responds by saying, "If you truly loved me more than your parents, children and wealth, and if you lived in the world just for me and were prepared to die upon my name, why did you make your face resemble my enemies? Did my hadith not reach you?" Number 1, keep the mustache very short allow the beard to grow. Number two, he who acts upon my sunnah is mine, and he who turns away from it is not. Number three, whoever does not act upon my sunnah is not mine. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes displeased, O those fond of fashion, having reminded you of these hadith, what will we do if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes displeased with us? Whose door will you plead at? Whose door will you seek intercession at? Who will save you from the wrath of Allah? Right now, you still have a chance. You have time if you are still breathing. Repent immediately. Follow the beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam by growing your beard. Keep this sign of love upon your face. Push aside the wishful thinking. I am still young. I will grow it later, or I will keep it after marriage. Oh, my naive Islamic brothers, do not fall for satanic tricks. He will coerce your friends and relatives to say, you're too young to grow a beard. Grow it later. This is a major satanic ploy. He has destroyed many using this. A disaster before death. A young man was once associated with Dawat Islami for almost a year and grew his beard in this time. Perhaps due to the company of bad friends, he shaved his beard and did not attend Dawat Islami's weekly Sunnah-inspired gathering held in Karachi on Thursday night. On Friday, he went to the shoreline for a picnic along with his friends. He accidentally drowned at sea just 15 days after cutting his beard. Fashion trends and the fashion-minded. That young man was around 20 years old. According to some, he was not old enough to grow a beard. Yet, is this the reason why he shaved his beard just 15 days before his death? No, it was his destiny and the evil effect of bad company. May Allah forgive him, this young man left us with an important lesson. Anyone thinking of leaving the Islamic environment of Dawat Islami or adopting the company of those who are fond of triviality should reflect over this story. May it not be so that you too become a similar story for others. Fear being destroyed by others who already have been. Maybe the end of your life is drawing close, and Satan is trying his best to ruin you. Perhaps a few moments of bad company could corrupt you to the extent you lose your entire life's worth of good deeds. Stay away from those who miss Salah and indulge in sin. Allah Himself declares in the 68th verse of Surah Al-An'am, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإما ينسينك الشيطان فلا تقعد بعد الذكرى مع القوم الظالمين. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. And if Satan causes you to forget, then on remembering, do not sit with the oppressors. Grow a beard that pleases the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. O those who love Allah's Messenger, heed my words and do not be arrogant in your youth. Do not make worldly matters an excuse. Come take refuge in the shelter given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and ask Allah for forgiveness. Also, one must apologize to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and ask him to excuse you. This is the court of mercy. No one returns empty-handed. Remove the sign of the enemies of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam from your face forever and adorn it with the goodness of the prophetic sunnah. Satan is a devious trickster. Even if you overcome him and grow your beard, he will still attempt to exert control over you by having you keep the beard in an improper fashion. He will try to have you keep the beard following certain fashion trends. Shaving the beard or shortening it less than a fist length are both haram. Do grow your beard, but do so in a manner liked by our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Grow it to a complete fist length. 30 detriments of shaving the beard. In the 22nd volume of Fatawa al-Razaviyya is a work entitled Lam'atu al-Duha fi I'fa'i al-Luha. This discusses the condemnation of shaving the beard and shortening it to less than a fist length. The end of this work contains some censures, warnings and punishments related to this. References have been removed for brevity. Those who wish to see them should refer to Fatawa al-Razaviyya. Number 1. Those who shave their beards are disobedient to Allah Almighty and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number 2. They are under Satan's command. Number 3. They display great foolishness. Number 4. Allah is displeased with them. Number 5. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is displeased with them. Number 6. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam dislikes seeing such a face. Number 7. They are not from the group of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number 8. They have changed their nature and distorted what Allah created. Number 9. They are considered effeminate. Number 10. They have violated their covenant with Allah. Number 11. They are not considered honorable. Number 12. Their action is worthy of repulsion. Number 13. Their testimonies are not valid. Number 14. They may fall into destruction. Number 15. They await divine punishment. Number 16. They are the enemies of Allah and He is severely displeased with them. Number 17. They incur the wrath of Allah morning and evening. Number 18. Their faces will be distorted on the day of judgment. Number 19. Allah and His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam have cursed them. They are misfortunate in this world and the hereafter. The curse of Allah, the angels and humans is upon them. Angels say Ameen upon their being cursed. Number 20. Allah will not have mercy on them. Number 21. They will not enter paradise. Number 22. Allah will make them enter hell. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. I had extremely evil character. Dear Islamic brothers, to develop passion for growing a beard, adorning your head with an imama, keeping sunnah compliant hair, wearing sunnah inspired clothing, as well as to learn and teach the Quran, stay with the Islamic environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Make it your routine to travel with Madani Qafilas and act according to the Pious Deeds booklet. An Islamic brother from Karachi had extremely wicked character once. He would talk wantonly with his friends late into the night. Neither did he have regard for his parents' honour, nor was he conscious of wasting his precious time. He lived in heedlessness. His family members, however, were extremely upset about his wrongdoings. They tried to help better him, as they feared his misdeeds would give a bad name to the entire family. One day his brother had him meet a pious person. The latter affectionately invited him to attend a weekly sunnah-inspired gathering of Dawat-e-Islami and to join Madrasatul Madina for adults. The pious person also spoke about the blessings that come from following Islamic law. This tremendous individual effort had great effect on the man's heart, and he could not refuse the invitation to join Madrasatul Madina. By the grace of Allah, he learned how to recite the Quran correctly. being around those who love the Messenger of Allah and who live their lives in accordance with Sunnah benefited him deeply. He now shows great love for Islam, adorning his face with a beard and his head with an imamah. Not only is he attempting to lead a life following the Sunnah, but also encouraging others to do the same. At the time of writing, he currently works as a head of affairs, working to propagate the Sunnah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Dawat-e-Islam is rising number of institutes. Dear Islamic brothers, someone began acting upon the Sunnah and calling others to it by the blessings of individual effort and Madrasatul Madina. I humbly request all Islamic brothers and sisters to gain admission to their respective Madrasatul Madina for males and females. If you have not learned the correct method of reciting the Quran, I exhort you to do so. If you have learned how to recite correctly, then begin teaching others by first liaising with your local head of affairs. At the time of writing, I 14th Ramadan 1432 AH, in accordance to the 15th of August 2011, in Pakistan alone, around 766 Madrasatul Madinas for boys and 316 for girls are being run for Quranic memorization and recital. Approximately 72,000 boys and girls are learning the Quran at these institutions. In addition, the number of Madrasatul Madina for adult Islamic brothers, which are usually held after Isha for almost 40 minutes, is 3,316. The number of Madrasatul Madina for adult Islamic sisters, which are held at different timings, ranging anywhere from 8 a.m. to Asr Salah for 1 hour and 12 minutes, is 3,938. As per the 10th of Rajab 1432 AH, in accordance to the 12th of June 2011, there are around 90 Jamiatul Madinas for Islamic brothers, whereupon they undergo courses to become scholars. For Islamic sisters, there are 72 of these. There are 6,671 male students and 2,841 female students enrolled in these. Across these institutes, education is provided free of cost. Their expenses are covered through contributions received from generous donors. It is essential for every Muslim to recite the Quran correctly and to be aware of obligatory religious knowledge. Two pearls of wisdom regarding Quranic education. It is stated on page 545 and 546 in volume 1 of Bukhari Shariat. Number 1. Memorizing one verse of the Quran is individually obligatory for every Muslim who is sane and has reached maturity. Memorizing the entire Quran by heart is a communal obligation. It is necessary to memorize Surah Al-Fatiha and one short surah, or that which is similar to the latter. For example, three short verses or one long verse. Number 2. To be aware of as many jurisprudential rulings as one needs is a pertinent obligation. Learning rulings beyond one's need is superior to memorizing the entire Quran by heart. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.